Welcome to Too Sweet Wrestling.
Bonjour, ça va?
The Geek Show's wrestling show. I'm Rob. He's Jay.
I'm Jay, like.
I was almost tempted to do the thing to sign out with Lucha Underground for Vampiro. Matt Stryker. See you next time.
We'll do that at the end. Spoiler alert. That's how the show ends.
But find all our stuff on the Geek Show at Quarter UK. We're on Facebook. Just search for Too Sweet Wrestling Podcast. We haven't done this in a little while, but 5 points, not so much of Raw, but WWE, but that is basically of WWE.
Well, yeah, because we're going into WrestleMania, so we need to poke the ugly bear in the corner.
Who's the ugly bear in the corner?
The WWE.
I was going to say, if you call Kevin Owens the ugly bear in the corner,
he's a sweet hairy panda.
But 5 points of Raw.
There's only really 5 points going into WrestleMania. I struggle for a fifth, but
got like 8 matches as well, haven't they?
It's finally shaping up. After Fastlane, it was all a bit. Everyone went mental. Roman Reigns going. Everyone was like, WrestleMania's predictable. We know it's ended. Then on Raw the next night, there's the Vincent J. McMahon Legacy of Excellence Award. And I thought, bloody hell, how convoluted. I don't think Vince McMahon Sr. would enjoy this.
No.
He just liked wrestling and nothing else.
Yeah.
His son came along and changed everything.
For the better, initially.
Initially, rock and wrestling, whatever.
And then, no.
It sort of went yes, no, much like the Zodiac in WCW. Brutus Beefcake.
It needs like a new yes, and I think...
No, we had a yes for a bit, didn't we? A literal yes.
This new generation coming up for NXT, I think that's the next yes.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Only one man can ruin it, and that is the man that comes out to present the award, and it was Vince McMahon.
Yes.
So he presented two. I predicted Triple H to get it, you know, leading to WrestleMania, but Stephanie McMahon received this award.
Yeah, that makes no sense. And this is just kind of saying, yeah, my family is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
I couldn't think... Well, I couldn't... Determine whether it was going to be a work or a shoot, if it was going to be all convoluted storyline. It was just going to be a nice, legitimate award for once, like a wedding on EastEnders. Like, could it just happen nicely for once? We'll get through, end of the episode, kiss the bride, end.
You know,
the thing
about Stephanie McMahon, you know, when you got like a small child in the family with a son, nephew, niece, whatever, that small child is at like a stage of its development where it'll just copy everything which somebody it looks up to.
That
is exactly what Stephanie McMahon is. And when you see her and Vince together, it's like she's just copying her dad.
It is a bit freaky now. I always thought that Vince and Shane would be like the twins forever. But Stephanie somehow, despite being Linda's twin, is turning into daddy. She's even getting that growl in her voice, that awful guttural growl, which does not sound good with her mix of whiny teenager that she's never grown out of.
Producer Rob suggested that she's going to do her version of Stand Back. But I think it's going to be like some sort of really whiny...
She'll turn it into like an R&B song.
Yeah.
Because she still thinks like Brandy's cool.
I don't know who that is.
Don't remember Brandy?
No.
Moesha of Trouble?
No.
No.
Pop culture references. I don't do pop culture.
LL Cool J?
Yeah, I understand that.
Deep Blue Sea?
Deep Blue Sea, that's, yeah.
That's
yeah.
one hell of a film. Great soundtrack. All by LL Cool J.
It's amazing.
But that's what you do with like Stand Back with like some awful like Craig David.
No.
That's why I'm not a garage star, you know what I mean?
No. Nobody's a garage star anymore. It's not a thing.
So Steph gets this award. It's like, fair enough, Steph's going to get it. Everyone's going to boo. It's going to be the heat. That's it. She's going to do it. She goes to do a little speech. Now comes the money. Here comes the money. Jay McMahon, how did you react?
Well, I thought he was, you know, having a career in golf, you know, managing like a golf star or a golf promotion.
He was part of like a company that used to stand around with Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. And I thought, who's that?
Apparently, his last big venture's been a big like cable business in China.
Yeah, he's not been affiliated with wrestling in such a long time.
It was about 7 years, I think.
I think he kind of got sick of, you know, doing the coast-to-coast by chair-dropping people in the face and like jumping 50 foot onto his face.
Well, I thought, yes, Shane McMahon's bumping days are certainly over. I watched Shane McMahon versus Kurt Angle from King of the Ring.
He did crazy stuff in his day.
Yes, which I put it on the Facebook page. And God, when he didn't go through that glass pane, and he's like, Kurt's like, spot's done, it's fine. Shane McMahon's like, no, do it again till I go through the glass. Kurt Angle, who can hardly bloody stand, has to muster the energy to flip him over. And it's just, Shane McMahon, you did mental before mental was cool.
Should have been in ECW, though. I'd love them.
Imagine. He'd have died. Him and New Jack would have killed each other.
Oh, God, he's a horrible human being.
Horrible. But Shane McMahon comes out, and I'm just...
Odd. That was my reaction. It's like, really? Where are you going with this?
Like, the night before, me and my mate were discussing the cool scenario that never happened. Like, we're like, oh, Shane McMahon will come out and it'll be Deadman, but that'll never happen because we never get what we want.
Yeah, I thought if they were going to bring Shane McMahon back, I thought it was some sort of power struggle. Sort of like presenting the other side, opposing the authority.
And you were right.
Who thought? I'm never right about wrestling.
And you were spot on. That is exactly what is happening because he comes back and he says that they had some dodgy dealings years ago. He pulled Vince out of a tough spot and he never lost his place in line because that was the belief that Shane stepped out, did his own thing, and Stephanie McMahon was the new heir to the throne.
Well, you need like a little bit of separation when you're living and breathing something for so long. You just need... Give me five. Well, yeah, I'll be back.
And it's as if Prince William took a step out and Prince Harry stepped forward and took the throne. That's what Stephanie McMahon did.
Yeah, that is a good
But now Prince Williams came out to entrance music. He's got Here Comes the Money. He's dancing on the stage. He's like, Harry, soz, I'm actually first in line.
He can do literally anything he wants, though, at this point, Shane, and be more likeable until they reveal what they were going to do with him.
Well, yeah, because I've never heard such a pop for him coming out. That was amazing. Even he was a bit like, he nearly cried, bless him.
I reckon
he's such a humble guy that he thought, he'll get a bit of a cheer. You know, people will remember me. People will remember Shane McMahon.
He was one of the odd highlights of the Attitude Era.
He was, wasn't he? Every Shane McMahon pay-per-view was amazing.
He had no respect for his own welfare.
And coincidentally, Shane McMahon pay-per-views always did the best buy rate.
Really?
So he made money as well. Really? So when they had all these big money draws, they were trying to like make stars out of Lex Luger, they're trying to make stars out of Sid. Vince McMahon's son was the real draw.
Sid Vicious, eh?
Sid Bloody Vicious. Not that one. The worst one.
The one with the curly blonde hair for some reason.
Yes. I wonder what actual Sid Vicious would think of that.
I don't know.
So Shane comes out and Vince says that, you know what, fair play. You do have a bit of a... You did help me out. You do have a claim. But Shane McMahon wants control of Raw, which means control of the whole WWE, effectively.
Yeah.
So Vince proposes that he has one more match. Shane's like, fair enough, I'm mental still. I don't mind, do whatever, I'll jump off a rope, I'll go through some glass, don't worry. He's like, oh, it's going to take, like...
Yeah, that kind of, my heart sank a little bit. I'm thinking, how can they get out of this? How can this not be a thing? Because if that's a thing, it's... Yeah, because the whole idea of his final match being... This WrestleMania.
This has made me think it isn't. He's just going to wrestle next year as well.
Because they can't possibly make this his last.
This can't be his last WrestleMania match.
Because like, thanks for all those years, but nah.
But I'm sort of thinking, how is that going to work in a wrestling match? They're going to like grapple and stuff and do some mat wrestling. And then Vince is going to be Hell in a Cell. I'm like, well, Shane's dead. Nice one, that's the end of your son.
Yeah.
Vince and Shane looked at the WrestleMania sign and I thought Vince was saying, you're jumping off that.
He probably was when he was younger.
Get up there, mate. But dad, I'm your son. Nah, that's it. He's going to... Well, this is it now. And I think it... Well, how is it going to go? How can that possibly go?
I'm scared for it.
I'm scared for both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Undertaker needs someone safe to work with. In fair play, Shane's not a malicious guy, but he's not a wrestler.
There's not many people left in the roster except like the new blood.
No. Like, I couldn't pick a guy to face, apart from John Cena.
Yeah, that'd be a good retirement one for him, though.
So that'd be next
but
year.
But they want Sting as well.
Yeah, Sting would be great. But
potentially, there's like three more, like this included.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'd take Sting over Cena just for the spectacle of it.
Yeah.
But I've actually heard quite a few people suggest that John Cena come out and cost Undertaker the match. But that doesn't make sense because John Cena would never cost anyone a match.
Very rare that he does.
So I can't see that happening. But how is it? Because surely they can't just tease Shane McMahon.
Unless they do that, but he acknowledges the fact, not like publicly on the shows, that he can't do it. So he walks down to the ring, takes to the mic, says, I've got somebody to take my place. And then somebody's music hit. I don't know. John Cena hasn't been on TV, like wrestling for a while. Big pop match done. Because as an actual match, it's going to be awful. Shane McMahon versus Undertaker.
But it's just going to be a bloodfest.
It's going to be awful.
It's just going to be battering each other. It's not going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be like, well, we already have a street fight on the show.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that, but in a cage.
You need somebody who's actively wrestling to go against Undertaker. He might be training somewhere. All I know. He have to go in this match, but...
I've seen Shane train. He's been training in the gym. He looks fit as. Because he came out and I was like, Jesus, you are Vince.
He looks weird with grey hair as well.
Yeah. And he's putting grey hair in a suit on. He had his like high tops on, man. Like, no, not high tops. It's like big Jordans. Like
Air Jordans.
But the only way, the horrible thing is the only way that this can be good is if they kill themselves over it.
Yeah.
And nobody wants, well, it's good, but it's like, don't do it. Don't do this.
I hope to do what I suggested and make something out of it, rather than just a bloody travesty in both ways.
But we shall see. And then the Undertaker came out the next week, and I'm thinking, why would Undertaker take this match?
And then take like 15 minutes to get out and then say one word.
Yeah, he just says, Shane's blood's on your hands. Shouldn't Undertaker be like, why am I doing your bidding, Vince? Like, you're not in charge of me?
Yeah, because I had like a pretty good rivalry.
Yeah.
And when Undertaker laughed that one time, it was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, yeah. And
like, that was all for Vince.
Who does Undertaker take orders from? Not Vince. Vince even called him his own secret weapon. Is Undertaker just like Vince's bitch now?
Mm,
he didn't, and then he just comes out and says, I'm going to do it. Like, no, oh, that's it.
He's never been like that.
That's it. So
he's had massive rivalries with...
No, Vince McMahon buried him alive.
Exactly.
2003.
That's pretty severe.
Yeah, it was 2003, yeah.
That's not the sort of thing, you know, sort by having a cup of tea together.
He's getting old now, though, and he's forgotten. He's like, Vince pays me. That guy, pension. Cheers, man. But not much is explained yet. Shane's coming out tonight, so maybe something explained. When we cover Roadblock, hopefully we'll have some more answers on that one.
Mm.
But the main thing going into WrestleMania, Shane O'Mac could own WWE as long as he kills himself against The Undertaker.
Well, the consequence of it, I don't want to see, but if he was in charge, I'd like
fun.
To see what would happen.
Yeah, very fun. Bit change scenery, get the authority out the way. Bit fun.
This gimmick, this authority gimmick, too long.
Right in the ground. Stephanie McMahon has never got her comeuppance. She always comes out on top, and it's just getting a bit stale now. But speaking of Stephanie, she has a husband, doesn't she?
Triple H.
Who just happens to be the WWE champion.
It's his final run.
It's his final run.
Which is fair. He needed. It's nice for him to have that final.
I'm not complaining. As long as he stops at this title win as well. Doesn't surpass Cena or Flair. Yeah. Doesn't put himself over too much. Fair play. Triple H last week killed Roman Reigns in front of a hot crowd.
He killed them.
And what did the crowd do?
Well, it's Roman Reigns, so obviously cheered.
The crowd cheered him like I said before, like Jesus appeared and shot Donald Trump in the head. Is exactly what Triple H did to Roman Reigns. And everyone expected, like Donald Trump in Donald Trump's world, people would boo if that happened.
Hmm.
But that didn't happen at all. Because the crowd started chanting one more time.
It's like that time when he thought he was being really American by having an eagle on set and it just attacked him. It's like...
Should have stole his wig, shouldn't it?
Shit. And made a nest for its young.
Because that would be the most American thing ever. That's the American dream right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is.
I feel really patriotic about a country that I hate.
But yeah, this is odd. They can't really plan anything for Roman Reigns, can they? Because he's more divisive than Cena.
Yeah.
Because Cena, say what you want about him, but he's had some great matches over the past 18 months.
Roman Reigns has had two?
I wouldn't say great. He's had good matches.
He had a minute match of the Big Show, so he's always got that in the back of my mind.
Yeah, but you're using this, like, it's not a good match. It's just you think, oh, it's Big Show, it's rubbish. And actually, all right.
I really enjoyed it, but that's always at the back of my head. And like, it's like that card's running out now, though. If you have a good match of the Big Show, you're in my good faith for at least 2 years.
Yeah, it's like that one thing that a friend did one time. And yeah. Says, you know that, remember that time I did that thing? Yeah, no, I cashed that check. Like,
yeah, good faith for another. Like,
stop doing it.
It's like you provided me with a year's supply of Watsits that's run out.
Mm.
I bloody love Watsits. Big Show, terrible. Roman Reigns, great.
Yeah.
When he wants to be. And when they get it right. They got it right at the end of last year.
How the booking him now is going to be confusing for Roman Reigns.
And if he closes out WrestleMania beating Triple H, it'll be the first WrestleMania to go out on booze ever, if I recall.
I think if the Mitt turns Reigns heel, even though he's the biggest face, I don't know, they could work with the crowd a little bit.
They could only turn him on Dean, so it'll have to happen in a Roadblock.
That's the only way I can think they'd make something out of this.
Mm.
You know.
But going down the trip, because another alternative is to have Roman Reigns destroy the match at Roadblock. You say, why are you getting the title shot? This is my title shot. This is Roman Reigns' time. And have a triple threat, because otherwise it's heel Roman Reigns versus face Triple H.
Well, he's not really a heel.
No, but who?
Triple H. I know he's supposed to be, but what he's done...
people who...
Nothing really heelish about it. He's trying to run the company, and because people don't do as they're told, he's a bad guy. I don't buy that.
He's had to become less of a bad guy because so many people who know he runs NXT can't be mad at him.
Yeah, and he just hasn't generally done anything all that bad.
But fair enough,
he buried Daniel Bryan, which in fact sold him.
Mm, which
but because no, that was all calculated, I reckon.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, but
I don't think we're back
he did that because, you know, he's not a sort of guy you can pin like a massive company on. He's a little guy. He's not like what you think an athlete has. So
he's not Roman Reigns.
It's some sort of sense in that. Mm. So I don't think he's done anything particularly heel. Not in the way that Vince McMahon did when it was, you know, the Attitude Era. He did some horrible stuff then.
But that's what Triple H is trying to do with Roman Reigns. And the reason it isn't working is because Roman Reigns isn't Steve Austin.
I think that's measuring it against the Attitude Era, which probably is
never do
it's
that.
Not the wisest thing.
Measure it against 2009.
I can't even remember that.
Good, because it was terrible. So we go into Royal Block. Who's winning? Triple H, Dean Ambrose.
Triple H, obviously.
And I just don't know how it's going to go. That can't be the main event if that's the case.
You never know. Could be surprise. Triple H could drop his title, and then they could save the main event for WrestleMania to a degree.
Dean Roman would be a much better main event than Dean Triple H. I mean, Roman Triple H.
Maybe, but it's likely that it's going to be Triple H that wins, but it'd make a lot of sense if Dean Ambrose won.
But Dean Ambrose wins, and then what happens to his match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? This is the next point.
So maybe that becomes a triple threat again.
Yeah.
For the title.
And is it going to be like another thing where if Dean Ambrose beats Brock Lesnar, he's in the main event?
And then they gave that vacated spot to Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger.
And
there's somebody, the key. You've got it.
Somebody else.
Jack Swagger and R-Truth are the key to saving this.
Yes. We've got complicated maths happen there.
You know what? The way Raw's been going, I wouldn't be surprised if the Social Outcast kept interrupting in the main event. That music hits and Heath Slater's coming out. Bo's doing laps of the ring. Triple H just like, fine. Just leaves the title, gives it to Adam Rose. Done. Yeah, we solved the book in there. We did it again.
Yeah.
Adam Rose is the future.
Some odd circumstances that happened.
It's all making me a bit ill, though, with worry. My next point, speaking of being ill, why to AJ?
Yeah.
Sick to bloody death.
I love AJ Styles. It's one of the best entertainers, performers, wrestlers on the planet.
And I'm so happy he's here. And since the Royal Rumble, I've been happy. But this week was the first week. This week watching Raw was the first week where I didn't think, oh, when's AJ Styles coming up?
Well, it's like when Jericho had long hair.
Mm.
He was one of the best in the world right then.
Yeah, he was cool as.
He cut his hair and he's like, yeah, you're boring me. Don't do that.
And well, he's like, it's Bon Jovi hair now. Like, but why to AJ? Why? Why to AJ? Why?
Maybe the thought, we haven't had a John Cena, stroke Sheamus, stroke Randy Orton match we can just put on every bloody show. How about make this one?
Well, you know what? Face off for the New Day, Mick.
Just noises. That's all I can muster.
I was trying to make notes for this earlier. I was trying to think of what I could possibly say about Y2AJ because it's a big part of Raw at the moment. Going against the New Day. It's a big storyline. It's AJ Styles WWE. I'm just having no words. Yeah.
It should be exciting.
Everything about AJ Styles should be exciting. And by no means should Y2J ever be dragging anyone down. But
nah.
These two should not be a tag team. AJ Styles should have some marquee match going at WrestleMania. It should already be announced. Because you have all the Japanese fans tuning in because it's AJ. It's AJ Styles. It's Styles of Clasher. Like, it's on WrestleMania. They've just got the network. But no, they're not going to tune in to see AJ Styles try and win the tag team titles with Chris Jericho. And no one wants to see New Day lose the titles.
With Fandango and Jericho asked the last time he was used well at WrestleMania.
Putting over Fandango.
It was the drama of it. The way it was all built up, I mean.
It was great at the time, but they just didn't follow up. It's what happened afterwards that ruined that.
Yeah, at the time.
Where is Fandango?
At the time, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But
I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. Like, they're going with this dancing guy.
Yeah.
But where is Fandango now?
I don't know.
I haven't seen Fandango in age. Only these idiots want to see Chris Jericho and AJ Styles tag team champion. No one wants to see. AJ Styles should already be in the main event picture. I know you've got to earn your dues. You've got to make your way up the card. But you beat Chris Jericho. You beat a former world champion. Why is he going for the tag title?
Put him in the United States picture.
Yeah, why not? Intercontinental title. The Kevin Owens match was ready set. He eliminated him for the Rumble.
Yeah.
What more do you want? You've got so many set up storylines and you go with a tag team title.
Kevin Owens is a terrible loser. That's ready made.
Yeah. AJ Styles should lose, beat Kevin Owens in one match and Kevin Owens should just flip back to the hell out of him. It should have happened by now, but it can't now.
No.
And the rumours is that, we'll go straight into the ice title picture. What's Kevin Owens doing?
Is this the final point?
The women as well. It's just the title. The final point is the remainder of the other titles.
Yeah.
They don't see, they've only just sort of realised, oh my God, we've got matches at WrestleMania.
The Kalisto.
Kalisto literally has nothing.
He's a star. And he's a ready-made star.
I know we love Lucha.
Oh no, but just the fact that he is the little guy. He is the Rey Mysterio. Yeah, Rey Mysterio was so loved.
And why can't they just have someone come out and say, you're a disgrace in Mexico, you're not even Mexican, what are you doing? No, he's from Chicago.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Which is where Roy is tonight. Yeah, so CM Punk chance. So why don't they just have someone come out and just challenge Kalisto and say he was a disgrace? And Kalisto goes, no, I fight for my pride. I love Lucha. I love Lucha Libre. I love all the people that came before me. I fight. He's the ultimate face, but no, he's just not on doing anything. Teaming with Sin Cara again. Who cares about the United States title? Kevin Owens, who's he facing at WrestleMania? Don't know.
Yeah, it's not positive signs. Unless they just drop bombs and they like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Unless they drop a Sami Zayn-sized bomb at Roadblock, then yeah. Kevin Owens has no point. He's going to end up facing Big Show or something garbage, because that's what they've been teasing. I know. And the other title is the only title that's been given any sort of direction. It's the Divas title.
Is he not retired yet?
No, Big Show will not retire. He said in Steve Austin's podcast, he's here for now. Deal with it.
He's there until he's fired.
They won't even fire him because they love him. He's got a job for life. Yeah. And bless him, it won't be a very long life because his life expectancy is not very high.
It's not for people like gigantism.
No, he's already gone a lot further than he thought he would.
He's cured. You know, so the negative stuff about it is, you know.
But his life is...
They've not got long life expectancies, no. Giants.
But he's past the original life expectancy, so fair play with him. Like, so
good on him.
But the only other title that's...
Just to clarify, we're not saying anything bad about you.
Oh,
know?
No.
It's just a medical thing.
Yeah.
Medical thing.
We don't wish anything bad on the Big Show.
No, of course not.
So Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, it's happening.
It's NXT.
It's happening. We're getting our NXT. Well, there was a fatal four with Bayley, so we're getting... Basically that without Bailey.
Yeah.
The three horsewomen without Bailey, poor Bailey.
Well, she's, you know.
But the way it's happened has been screwy as, you know how they did the whole double finish with AJ and Joe? Yeah. They did it with the women. And it was just like, do you take us for idiots? We all watch NXT. We've seen it. You've seen it with Daphne. But yeah. The triple threat is happening. And that's the light at the end of the tunnel in this title mess.
I don't know about that. Because the women's division hasn't really been given the opportunity.
It's going to work WrestleMania though.
It has to.
And that triple threat will change everything,
and
hopefully.
The only way they can book that at WrestleMania is giving it to Sasha Banks. If they want to get some sort of goodwill back, give it to Sasha Banks.
If it was going to be Sasha Charlotte, which it should have been, Sasha with a crowning moment, but winning it in a triple threat just doesn't seem as great.
Yeah.
I want her to win it at a one-on-one feud where she's overcame this horrible heel by just being cool. So I kind of hope Charlotte retains and Sasha just keeps going at her. And then eventually
she
wins.
She will.
Fingers crossed. But I just want them, all I want is for them to have an amazing match.
Yeah, she's not with Team Bad now, so anything's cool what she does now.
Because that's not amazing. That's stupid amateur music. So that is the scope of the WWE going into Roadblock.
On Saturday, the 12th of March.
Indeed, in Canada, which also has an NXT match on it, which we'll come to there.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does indeed, but... So that's the running going to Roadblock. Next week, hopefully, we'll have some answers to all these horrible, horrible questions.
And we'll have... We'll come with Lucha next, I think.
Go with Lucha?
Yeah, so we don't have too much W in a row.
Yep.
So, nice break.
Let's get into Lucha.
If you'd like comical and informative banter on the world of comics and manga, then check out 4Panel, the Geek Show's dedicated comic podcast, or Yon Paradu, if you prefer manga.
Here at The Geek Show, we have a lot of fun making our podcasts, but we can only do that with continued support from our wonderful listeners. So if you feel like giving us a few monies, why not click the donate button on the right-hand side of the website?
Lucha, Lucha, Lucha. Is that best say on Lucha Underground?
All right. I was doing Kalisto's Evans theme for you.
Did I say Lucha Underground? You know, and something's awesome and they just shout the name of the company as they're doing wrestling. They don't do it in football, though, where it's like a really good match. We're going, football.
4E.
No, but no. Did they shout Lucha? They do, don't they?
Yeah, they do shout Lucha. Yeah, that's usually how the show opens, with all chanting Lucha.
Mm.
Which I suppose is just fight.
Basically.
What it means. It opens this week with Katrina. Horrible Katrina. I'm sick to death of Katrina now, just because there's no who she replaced.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to spoil it, but I'll say it. This far in the season, I don't think it's clicked as much with me because of one man, Dario Cueto.
Who's been showing up in every single other TV show, though. He was in his Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, is he really?
He was in, one of the Super Bowl commercials. But I like to think, in my mind, that's just Dario Cueto making a quick buck.
Yeah, he is.
He's going around the country starring in lots of things. Just to make a bit of dodgy money. Under loads of different names. Luis Fernandez Gil, don't know who that is.
Yeah, I think that's why it's not really... It's been good, don't get me wrong. It's been very good.
Very enjoyable.
But it's not been... amazing.
It's
because it's not had Dario Cueto.
It's been too dark, and I'm all for, you know, a bit of a dark sci-fi stuff with Katrina disappearing every now and then. But
fighting with Pentagon for some reason.
And fair play, people do seem to like it. Like, general consensus on Twitter, people like Katrina. I just personally not clicking with it at all.
No, she's just not.
I don't think she's very good. I don't think she's a very good actress.
Dario Cueto was amazing.
Fantastic actor. He should win the bloody Emmy or whatever TV award.
He is a star. It's Dario Cueto.
Lucha Underground was up for an Emmy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
God bless it. No, but, so we open with Mill. Basically, tonight we have Puma versus Pentagon 2. Mm. We have that again. And Mill's going, why are you letting them fight each other? Why don't you let me go at them? I want to kill them.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was talking. He's been silent up to this point.
Which, I don't remember hearing him talk. And I've heard Ricky Banderas talk before. And I said, don't do it again, Ricky.
Mm.
And now that he might be Mill and Waiters, you never know.
No, he's
the same size.
Yeah, he's put a bit of weight on again. A
bit of timber.
At back end of the first season, he was looking, you know.
Well, I couldn't believe that that was a man's body.
Yeah, he was shredded at the back end of the first season.
I remember him being in TNA about 10 years ago, and he just looked weird, and like his body, and like I realized it was the same person. Like, Jesus, how have you made your body look like that?
Yeah, and now he's a bit chubby.
Mm.
Put the chub on again.
Because Katrina won't let him fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like,
she wants him to sit at the top. Got rid of the house band. How dare she get rid of the house band?
That's the most annoying thing.
What's
Sergio Mendoza Orchestra doing now?
Yeah, I love that house band. That was so fun.
Living on in my head, though. Just lots of maracas going on in my head. It's why I've been driving me mad, really. Imagine that. So, basically, Katrina's like, I've known you since you were a little boy. I was like, we get it, you're creepy. You just stop hanging about orphanages and stealing children and putting them in masks, making them fight.
Yeah, she's a weird
girl.
You're
bloody weirdo. And then Mill sort of grabs her by the throat, lifts her up, and says, my temple. It says that he wants them both, and he will murder them both. Basically, I assume that's what he means. He's called Mr. Murder or whatever.
Million deaths.
Million deaths, that's the one. Not Mr. Murder.
It's close enough.
And basically, Katrina cops out and just disappears, and he's like, oh, I hate when she does that. I want you to choke her out.
It is becoming a bit annoying as
yes,
a gimmick.
I'm worn out. She already needs to get a comeuppance very soon.
Yeah.
I need Pentagon to break her arm, basically.
Oh, we can't say that, but yeah.
No, I can and will. Oh, that's a Roman Reigns quote. Can I will?
Yeah, I say no, but yes, because I just want Pentagon Jr. to be in all of it.
Mm.
He's a lovely guy. He's one of my favourite wrestlers.
He's getting there for me. You know, I rated him. I liked last season, but I was like, Rob really loves this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to really get it now.
Yeah.
I got what you meant.
Yeah.
We
he's up there with Nakamura, so he's lofty company.
Is there higher praise?
He's lofty company up there.
We're getting him soon, that's what I'm saying. Cobra Moon versus Sexy Star. So I assumed...
A bit better.
Yeah.
I
like Sexy Star when she's wrestling women, because it looks realistic.
Yeah.
That's not, and as I always say, that's not a sexist remark, that's just that's attesting to Sexy Star's inability to put in a convincing match with men.
Because it makes the men look incredibly... It makes them look like an aerobics thing.
It makes them look like gymnastics. It exposes wrestling in a way that it shouldn't be, whereas Eva Lise just slaps him and punches him, batters them.
She's got a background in MMA, so that's what you'd expect.
But Sexy Star, but she's finally faced a woman, and I was excited because it was like, I haven't seen you face off with a woman on woman for a while.
And she's against cheerleader Melissa, who looks weird as...
As Cobra Moon, she'd be like a creepy snake woman.
Yeah.
Sort of slithering around. Vampiro loves it.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything from Cheerleader Melissa, but I've heard very good things.
Mm.
But as Cobra Moon, it's just weird. Not good weird, it's just kind of a bit hard weird.
I haven't enjoyed it so far. I hated her first match against Bengala.
Yeah.
Did not enjoy it whatsoever. It wasn't fun. It wasn't exciting. It just looked like a gymnastics expose.
Hmm.
And did not enjoy it whatsoever. She has a bit of a better match of Sexy Star this week. It was fine. It was all building up to the Mac coming out. But because Matt Stryker and Vampiro aren't allowed to see the backstage yet.
It's like very separate things. It's not like a Titantron showing them what's going on backstage.
So they come out and they're like, Vampiro's like, oh, the Mac's here. Why? Hey, Mac.
Mac like, can go wherever he wants.
You haven't got a match. So he just sort of creeps out of ringside. And then Marty appears in the crowd. Marty's
and the crowd
back.
Go creepy weirdo.
Yes.
And he is. He has such an expressive face.
I can't believe that's that kid off Tough Enough.
Is it really?
He wasn't Tough Enough. And now he's evolved from this quite chirpy little lad into a full-on creep.
Psychopath.
Psychopathic creep who thinks he's a moth.
It's amazing, though.
Obviously, it's been good.
Mm.
It's not been as amazing as it was last season, but when Marty came out, I was like, the spark's coming back.
There's a little.
There's that character. There's one of the characters... It's just starting to...
It can function nowhere else in wrestling, that character. It's lovely.
It's one of the most unique gimmicks I've ever seen.
Yeah. A psychopathic man who believes he's a moth.
What more can you say?
And kidnaps women wrestlers.
So he distracts Sexy Star, basically.
Well, he didn't distract them. He just goes, hi.
Yeah, yeah. Flaps his wings a bit. Yeah, Cobra hits Dragon Sleep. I think they said Bengala a couple of weeks ago. She beats Sexy
Star. It's a cool
Star.
Finisher.
It's cool, yeah. Well, a lot of the finishers are submissions and pins at this, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which I like. It's finishers to end the match as soon as possible. Sexy Star taps out, which is like, whoa, Sexy Star tapped out. Who
she's never done that. But then again, I don't remember a time where she's been put in a particularly tough submission.
Only one is where she got her arm broken. It was like, oh, well, your arm's broken now, sorry. Pentagon's not giving you a choice to tap out.
You're just breaking your arm.
You're
just taking your arm.
Yeah.
You want to tap out, fine.
Cashing checks and taking arms. So that happens, and we get a vignette for... is it a vignette, or is it just an advert?
It's an advert. It's a beautiful advert. I saw it last week, and I thought, what is that? It's Famous B. He was one of the wrestlers in the first season, with like Vinny Massaro and a few others who were just there at a job.
And a couple of them became Disciples of Death, but Famous B...
But take him out of the Disciples of Death, because he is amazing.
I'm unsure as to what he's selling.
And he's selling...
Him?
He's selling... the way I thought of it, he's selling... I mean, Dario Cueto is trying to get people in his fight club to train his brother. I'm thinking, he's selling that.
He's doing the same thing, isn't he? He's trying to bring people into the fight club.
Yeah.
But he must have...
I'm Famous B because I fight and it's all swagger and...
Yeah, but he's fought in the underground, but I do like that he said I fought in the underground, but we know he's never won anything. So he is trying to con people, and he's got two blokes in masks next to him who keep trying to attack him, and he's like, no. Nah.
Keeps punching him in the groinal area.
He's basically just flapping them off like that, just going, nah.
It looks like a second-hand car salesman advert as well.
Like, of all the places to host it as well, he's like got like some second-hand, like Phil Mitchell's bloody auto yard.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I loved this. And then
it's a little cutaway.
Do you know who else loved it?
Who?
Dragon Azteca.
He did.
Because Rey Mysterio comes in, turns the telly off. Dragon Azteca in his sitcom home and goes, I was watching that.
No.
And Rey Mysterio's like, no time for telly, son. We've got to have a fight. And then they have a fight.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens to Lucha. You just have fights.
Sometimes it really works. You know, like when they introduced their PJ Black, as silly as it was, that worked.
Mm?
It
was the other one. There was someone...
Pentagon, you know, messing about. Bounce back.
having a mess on.
Drago with his nunchucks for some reason.
But then...
All works. He turned up last week with nunchucks and PJ Black got beat. He spat mist into his face and Jack Evans beat him.
So there's a bit of a three-way going on there.
Yeah, But yeah, when they do stuff like that, it worked. But the Mysterio thing.
But then it's like Rey Mysterio's be like, if you've not seen what they're doing on the television, you've got to have a fight. So we're going to have a ninja fight.
Rey Mysterio's weird, tasselly beard.
Yeah.
Kept on distracting me.
He's always had a dodgy little pubic hair on his face.
Yeah. But
I can't go beard, to be fair.
This doesn't work for me, I'll be fair.
Dragon Azteca just looks like a wuss. His mask makes him look like a little pea. He's got a little pee on his head.
A pee.
I remember.
Like a Poddington pee.
Have you ever seen that picture of that cat that has like a hollowed out lime pot on its head?
Oh, yeah.
What Dragon Azteca looks like.
I think I found a picture for this week's show.
There you go, yeah. I also found a picture of Mil Muertes, which is just amazing. I'll show you in the break.
Okay.
So we've got, we can maybe put a lime hat on him.
Yeah, maybe.
But second match, back to happiness for you. Mm. It's Pentagon Jr.
I thought it was very early.
Yeah, because you forget that the show's only 50 minutes long. And yeah. It's like, whoa, straight in there.
Yeah. This match was good. I mean, they've clearly learned each other's power. I mean,
exactly.
There was a bit from the last time they fought where he was kicked in the gut, Prince Jr. He's not related to the enigmatic musician.
Yeah, he's Prince's little son. No wonder he's so small.
But where he goes for like the handstand bounce off the ropes,
yeah,
and he kicks him in the stomach.
Yeah,
it's like really well timed stuff like that.
Yeah, that's like that. It's flowing as well. It's not like let's do this spot. It's like this is what happens next.
There was one bit though where there was. Pentagon went for the sling blade, made a bit of a mess out of it because they were going very fast that time. It was high attention. And instead of just thinking, yeah, done, they redid it, which you thought you shouldn't have done that.
No, I never redo spots because.
But other than that, that was like the momentum of that moment was like really exciting.
It's like, it's a fight, isn't it? And yeah. Like, imagine a fight in the street. Imagine picture the ideal fight in your head with a bloke in the street. It's not going to happen that way, is it?
No.
So things, it is sloppy at times. Fights are meant to be sloppy, so they should never redo spots. Just act like that was meant to happen.
Yeah, yeah, it was a bit sloppy. It was another bit like that. I can't recall. But yeah, it was just very...
We can't ever go at them for sloppy spots because...
It's very, very high tension and very high-paced stuff.
But sort of the thing with Puma is that now he doesn't have Conan. Like Vampiro sort of pushed it a bit since that without his manager. Mm. He does too much playing to the crowd. He does
yeah.
Too many moves as opposed to just going for the win. It sort of distracted him a little bit. He doesn't have that guidance anymore.
A particular moment where he does that really cool thing where he does like a Northerner's light suplex, then he keeps hold of it and bridges it up into Brainbuster.
Mm.
He said it then. He says instead, he's showing off too much and he did like a standing moonsault or something.
Yeah. Vampiro, yeah, like you say, Vampiro sold it well. Yeah. It's sort of building Puma's character is a little bit impotent, not important.
Yeah, he's going to, I don't think he's going to have quite as much of a run this year.
No, he won't be the champion again.
I think they're given like Pentagon and Phoenix. I think they're the next two.
And Quino's getting a bit more of a sane storyline, fair play. Yeah. There's Cage and Johnny as well, let's not forget.
I hope Cage doesn't, because I just don't like him.
You don't like Cage? But as long as he keeps entertaining us, Lucha, can't complain.
As long as he doesn't do that bloody Steiner drill thing where he drops him from a vertical suplex on the neck.
Do not like that at all.
It's disgusting.
Bloody Scott Steiner.
Disgusting move.
So this match ends in a DQ.
Smoke just billows out of the top of the stairs, and I thought, why'd they go out of the smoke machine there? That makes no sense.
Yeah, the crowd are going to get a bit, they can't see.
And Mil Muertes comes down. He's got his what do they call him? His sling. And he just stretches his arm and tears it off. It's like, whoa, badass.
That's the most badass way to get out of a sling.
He comes down and he beats them up. He does massive spears.
Yeah. Oh, big spears. The best spear was he did a spear where it looked like he'd done a normal spear but remained on his feet.
Yeah.
He did a spear and he was just like, oh, but how is he still stood up?
Yeah.
Ridiculous, man. And then he spears the hell out of the other guy.
I think it was Puma, yeah. Yeah. He picks them both up and I think, oh, please don't do a double choke slam. It never works when you do a double choke slam.
But he went the other way.
He went and did double flatliner, yeah. Which is actually really cool.
And they sold it perfectly. They're just like, ah, we just have to accept that our faces are going to get hurt by this. Yeah. Just went, wee, nosedive.
And it reminds me of another bit we'll talk about in NXT, actually. The after that, Muertes says, I'm still not finished with him.
Well,
I'm going to fight both of them for the belt next week.
They were having like an intense walk backstage, weren't they?
Yeah. I'm not sure about giving Muertes a voice, but he kind of have to.
Well, he sort of like, he's had to speak up because Katrina's calling all the shots, so he's finally been a bit like, this is my place.
Well, Katrina's got the power because of him, basically.
So
she's, you know, taking all the glory for it.
So it's his temple, he makes the calls, and we will have a triple threat between the three for the title. He'll even put his title on the line, fighting champion. I like it.
Mm, I do too. Looking forward to that.
In other words, JB, I love it, Margot.
And main event went straight in there.
Before the main event, they announced Aztec Warfare.
Which I am excited for.
3 weeks, we will have 20 contestants from around the globe. Well, the best fighters.
Well, if you have not seen Aztec Warfare, because I think it was before we were doing it last year.
It was, yeah.
It's basically a Royal Rumble.
Yeah. It's like a gauntlet, really, isn't it? Like, yeah. People keep coming every now and then, but you
like every 90 seconds.
Submission.
Every 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it does some amazing stuff.
I'm thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly excited.
As long as they don't have that bloody... The tiny one that they had in season one, the tiny luchador.
Masquerita Sagrada.
Yeah, and the clearly like campy
Pimpinella Escalata.
Yeah,
Escalata. Everyone loves Pimpy. Shows was named after Pimpy, like Show 3.
Yeah, I understand that, but at the same time, I don't think it really endears it to wrestling fans.
Pimpy's in, Pimpy's winning.
It endears it to Mexican wrestling fans, which is a very different type of wrestling. It's much more theatrical.
But not
to the sort of the big umbrella fan of wrestledom.
I pop big when Pimpy got on someone's knee and gave him a kiss. I pop massive for that. Yeah, so we will get a sit off. I like the fact that said Katrina and Mill have sent out the invitations like it's a party. Just depressing gothic invitations with spiders.
You say it with Milmuertes is just covered in the glitter.
I stepped off and we thought it was a party. It's like balloons everywhere and glitter and happiness. They've done it on Facebook, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm just imagining Milmuertes as a 6-year-old boy now.
Oh, speaking of inviting people on Facebook, I spent too much time on Facebook last night, just on my phone when I was going to sleep, and I found like I always accidentally find wrestlers' Facebooks, and I ended up on like Vicky Guerrero's personal Facebook page, and
that's odd.
I found Adrian Neville's wife. It was just a weird night. Like, people just come over and was like, "Oh, Adrian Neville's in that picture." Oh, it's your wife. I found your wife's Facebook. This is really awkward. I found Sami Zayn's as well. I really wanted to add him, but I didn't. He's called Randy on it.
Well, he's Ramy's surname.
But he obviously doesn't want to be found, so he's called himself Randy. But I won't say the surname.
Is that his real name, Ramy
Sebe?
Yeah. He's like Canadian Syrian.
Is he Syrian?
I think so, yeah.
He's got his nice Arabic on his pants. I like that. Yeah. So we get the main event. Vampiro says that these guys are going to murder each other because Vampiro bloody loves a good murder.
He says, hang on, no, I shouldn't have said that.
Have you noticed there's a sweet little polo shirt on this week?
Yeah,
like, his glasses the same as me.
He's being serious. He's got a serious journalistic mode. But he still swears and gets really excited.
Yeah, so he's dressed for the part, but he's still Ian Hodgkinson.
He was amazing.
I like to think that when I tweeted him and he's talking to me, he's like looked and saw me in my polo shirt and my glasses on and thought,
he's got something going on.
I like that look. You're welcome, Vampiro. You're welcome. Basically, Vampiro, the empty throne, it's symbolic.
Yeah.
Someone needs to take the throne. They both look at the throne. There's no one there. Lucha Underground's so good. And then Momoetis comes in to remind us that the throne is filled at the moment.
Mm.
Symbolism. Beautiful.
And he has both his arms free, so he's a powerful champ.
Full strength champ. Ladder match. If you notice how the ladders still look minging as well.
Yeah, they have to give him a clean under a...
I think it's cool that they've made them look rusty, so it's like dangerous. Like, if you bleed,
you're dead.
Death!
You're dead, basically, yeah.
Because this is all about death. We've had characters die.
Yeah, and they had not a ladder match, but they had like a spot on the last man standing like a few weeks ago, and it just all escalates from that sort of fall from a ladder.
Yeah, they do.
Through
they,
a table.
They repeat a couple of spots, don't they? But it's like the other guy doing it, so it's redemption.
Yeah. Yeah. It starts off well with King Cuerno dominating, frankly.
Well, King Cuerno, like Vampiro keeps saying, just go for the prize, just go for the belt, stop killing him.
He's not going for the win, he's going to hurt. He's a hunter, he's going to kill his prey.
Exactly, so much storytelling going on. Like, Cuerno would go for the title, but he must end Phoenix. Because you don't just let a deer run away,
yeah,
or something.
He is very nimble like a gazelle, though.
He is so nimble, a gazelle. Majestic like a gazelle.
Yeah, gazelle where if you hear a slightest noise, you're off.
Yeah.
You know, not really got that part done. But
you're off, but he's off, but he's off the rope and he bounces back and just hits you.
Yeah.
The beauty of wrestling. I love nothing more than Cuerno's rope dive.
It's pretty good.
The arrow thing. Love that. Have you noticed in Lucha, the crowd, it's the big, big difference with WWE. The crowd is split between these two, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that is because there are no faces and heels.
No, they're just all, they've got the goals and that's it.
Exactly. What we are given is characters. And it's up to us to decide whether whether we like that character or whether we don't, whether we're going to cheer that character, whether we're going to boo that character. It's not like Roman Reigns is a good guy, you must boo him. It's, there's a character, do you like it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you not like it? If you don't like it,
I mean,
you hate
in any other company, Pentagon, for example, is
top
a heel.
He's a heel. Top heel. Puma, ultimate face.
But he's not. Not really.
Crowd. Phoenix, ultimate face. Cuerno.
Everybody is loved.
Yep.
Everybody is loved for their own reasons and their own character. And Cuerno, he's got a lot of trajectory this season. He's become a bit more of a favourite.
Yeah, I liked Cuerno anyway. I thought he was a very good wrestler, but they've really given, he's got his cowboy hat in his truck.
Yeah.
So I know he's got a cowboy hat in a truck.
He speaks very good English as well.
He speaks very good English.
Is a rare thing in Lucha, because they've all, like, English has been their second language, so they've had to put on, like, weird synthesizers like they have with Drago.
Yeah.
Have a horrible voice with the case of Mil Muertes. But yeah, they've got really landed on the feet with Cuerno. He's somebody who hate to use a WWE term, but he could be the face of the company because he's a big,
great star. He's only 26.
Is he really? Bloody hell, he's
young
good.
Ass.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's good for his age.
Like I say, the crowd split. Vamp goes mental when Phoenix jumps off the.
Because
basically
like,
you have a spot roof.
And the roof. The previous one, the ladder, it wasn't stood up. It was more resting on like that little shed with the offices
it's like
on.
A shed. It's basically a shed.
It's like a builder's shed where they've got all the paperwork.
Why do sheds feature so much in like wrestling?
And Phoenix is knacking on the top of that, but he does like a front flip off it over the top of the ladder. And onto Cuerno on the ground.
It is literally the start of the descent of Vampiro's commentary for there, because he just stands up and he's like that. with his hands behind his head.
Yeah.
the crowd go mental. They have the proper crowd brawl after this. They're going to the crowd like Cage and Mac from Ultima Lucha.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one of them jumps out of the crowd.
Yeah. I can't remember the finish of this, but it was...
Oh, yeah, it was Phoenix. He jumps from the crowd, Quinn dodges it, and Phoenix lands on the ladder from the crowd. So the crowd, basically somebody in the crowd was like, whoop, oh, there he's over my head. Oh, he's killed himself.
Yeah.
And there's so many instances, like, they keep mentioning that these guys might kill themselves, and they make you believe it. Like,
Phoenix is very young as well. This is mad. I mean, I know you think you're invincible when you're young, but come on.
Behave. especially in matches like this. When Phoenix took that bump, Vampiro's commentary, as it had started to take its descent, Vampiro said, oh my God, he's broke his ass. Classic Vamp. Then Vampiro disappears into the crowd. Investigator goes, Vampiro's just had to go into the crowd for a bit.
He gets excited.
It's like, I'm just going to have to go and be with people.
Could you imagine, though? I mean, trying to do serious commentary in that.
Yeah.
It'd be very hard.
You know what? We slag match Striker off, but fair play for keeping on your game for the whole show.
He's very professional.
Whatever. Like, good lad. If you notice, the super kicks were a lot of super kicks in this match. Mm. Every one of them sounds like a gunshot.
Well, that's the thing. It's obviously the way they do it is they kick the back of the hand.
But
so it makes that, like, slappy noise.
But part of you thinks that they kind of kick you in the head as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because... Obviously, if you put your hand in a believable place, you've got to put it like right near your jaw or your face or something.
So basically, it's going...
When it hits your hand, it'll slap you in the face.
So I think you can hear this. It's basically going...
Yeah.
Basically. So imagine that kick in the hand. It
kicks in your hand and your hand is on your face, so you're still feeling it.
You're slapping yourself really hard. Like,
you're not hitting
it's like when you sit on someone's chest and you're just slapping the face going, why are you slapping yourself? Why are you slapping yourself? Why are you slapping yourself with the one hand?
But with a really muscular athlete who's kicking you in the head.
Exactly. The perfect description. Vampiro comes back to commentary, thank God. Phoenix gets Cuerno through a table from a hurricane right off the top. Mm. Goes at the top and reclaims his Gift of the Gods championship.
There's no real lose in this match.
Nope. Both guys still look awesome. Cuerno's going to get revenge. Cuerno looks strong. Phoenix has his title back.
I'm really happy that they've done this with Cuerno. Because he was the sort of unsung hero of season one.
He was. I remember when we did the Lucha review. Our Lucha, basically, where we cried and hugged. And he was in my top five.
He should have been.
Because Cuerno was he was amazing, but he didn't have that character. And now he has.
No, he's really, you know,
sank. We knew he was a hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't know more, and we didn't know what his goals were.
Next week, all we know so far is...
Triple threat, isn't it?
Triple threat, basically.
And that, we didn't
was
get...
Was it something else? No, no.
No, no, that's all we've got for next week. So we'll probably dip into another storyline, like...
Something new.
I haven't seen the Trios in a while. We haven't seen Angelico in a while.
There should be something new next week.
Yeah.
Something new started.
We haven't seen Joey Ryan continue with stuff with Crazy.
He's probably dead.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, he did that move happened on him.
In a Joey Ryan update, he eliminated 9 men from a match with his penis this week.
Oh, dear.
That is the Joey Ryan penis update for the week.
Is he going to stop doing that already?
Nope. It's just it's not stopping. His penises are getting stronger and stronger.
Believe that, and we'll finish the show with NXT.
Do you know the difference between Yandere and Sundere? Do you prefer Moe over Emo? Then you should listen to Keyframe, the Geek Show's dedicated animation podcast.
SonicCon 5, Newcastle upon Tyne, St. James's Park Stadium. SonicCon 5. Go to www.sonicon.co.uk for more information.
And welcome.
Now he's just mocking me. Welcome back to Two Sweet Wrestling.
I don't realise that is a mock of you, isn't it? That's why I welcome things in my head now.
It was a mock of me, which was a mock of Bullseye. Anyone like a really bad car. That's about it.
Speedboat in Birmingham.
Yeah.
So NXTs, we are back in the NXTs world, where tonight we will have Finn Balor versus Neville, the longest reigning champion ever pet.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the celebrating the NXT championship. Apparently.
The past versus the present, as if Neville's the past.
240 odd days, Finn Balor's been champion.
Is that right?
And something like that. And Adrian Neville was 287.
Ooh, he's getting there then.
So
he has to beat Joe. He'll get there.
Whoever is next number one contender. And yeah, he's the longest reigning.
Oh, God, yeah, it's Joe Zane, isn't it? I've just got Joe in my head now. It's Joe or Zane, isn't it?
I think Zane. Can't have the same number one contender twice.
I think it'll be Joe because...
On the bones.
Because reasons.
Yeah, all right. You know, you've read spoilers, haven't you?
Nakamura's facing Zane at... That was announced on the website.
Was it?
WWE.com spoiled it. We talked about it like 2 weeks ago.
Maybe. We'll see.
Never mind. Joe Zane.
Jozen.
But first, Finn Balor's going to get through a big showcase match with Adrian Neville, which is just salivating, a salivation match.
They give it a lot of time as well, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. These shows tagline, Aiden English and Simon Gotch, who I'm completely bored of now because they didn't capitalize on that heel turn, versus Hugo Knox
against
Tucker Knight.
You know, Hereford's ex-goalkeeper.
Yes, we get...
Was it Hereford's?
I think so. Burton Albion, I think.
That's not even...
He's played for quite a few teams, to be fair.
It's not even Hereford, is it?
Might be near it, I don't know.
I'm not sure of geography down there.
Well, Hugo Knox and Tucker Knight, two big boys. Two very, very big boys.
Well, yeah, Hugo Knox is very muscular.
And he wears polka dot panties.
Yeah, they both wear polka dot stuff.
Did Tucker Knight have polka dots on?
Yeah.
Didn't even notice that.
It's not quite as...
flamboyant.
Yeah, because it's like pink and white.
Hugo Knox, a bit of a backstory, apart from being a goalkeeper, was also a male escort.
He does have that vibe.
He does have that vibe, doesn't he? He's got very big eyebrows as well. Very bushy eyebrows. Hugo Knox and Tucker Knight making their... I don't know if Tucker Knight's been on it before, but this is definitely Hugo Knox's TV debut. Aiden English and Simon Gotch, who haven't really capitalised on being heels yet. They're just being a bit more aggressive.
What they have done is committed to the silent film thing and they just don't talk.
Yeah.
Which is good, because...
Fair play, don't talk. Simon Gotch's face just annoys me now. Aiden English... I watched the first episode of NXT. That they have on the network. It's not the first ever one, but it's the first that was ever on the network.
Yeah.
And Aiden English had his singing gimmick.
Yeah.
I loved that. I loved Aiden English. He's in the WWE.
It's more interesting.
Yeah. But this is just him and Simon Gotch are just hipsters.
Yeah.
Kind of. This match, I did not like it. I did not like it.
Knox was very aggressive. A bit aggressive to the point of being a bit stupid.
Yeah. People
just ripped him. that's that sort of thing. A goofy laugh.
I like that. That came out of nowhere. That came out of left field. Hugo Knox, they've got really high hopes for him. Kevin Owens loves him. Everyone loves him in development. So he's clearly got someone going for him. When I hear him talk, when I hear him see a bit of character, hopefully that'll come.
One thing though, Aiden English is weirdly muscular.
He is, isn't he?
Very ugular muscle.
Ugular.
Ugular muscular.
I know exactly.
Ugly muscles.
No, leave it at that because I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
But he's got weird hairs. Like he's muscly, but his body doesn't look like it should be muscly.
No, it doesn't.
Simon Gotch is obviously a bit of a little strong man.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about him, which is fine.
My issue with this match is that these Hugo Knox, Tucker Knight, what's the main thing about them?
Polka dots.
What's the main thing about the physiques?
Big.
Massive, aren't they?
Yeah.
Aiden English and Simon Gotch outbrawl them.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that even make sense? Shouldn't they be out wrestling them?
Well, yeah. They should be like, you know, just get off, you little guy.
When there's big men fighting, the littler guys, they are littler guys in this, don't care what your gimmick is, should be out wrestling them, should be wrestling circles around them, because that's how you beat down bigger guys. But Tucker Knight comes in, Corey Graves is saying this is one huge guy, like a wrecking ball.
Like 325
pounds. 325
pounds.
Aiding this is Simon Gotch, basically take care of him in a minute by battering him.
I don't like the way they did the... What's the finisher called? Oh,
Whirling Dervish.
Yeah, it was like they do like the uppercut. Mm. And he was stood there for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, just waiting.
And it looked really bad.
A minute after coming in, this wrecking ball of a man gets beaten by two much smaller men. Not by wrestling, through battering him and then hitting the finisher.
Badly.
It was very, very poor, but made very little sense. It just made Hugo Knox and Tucker Knight not look like big guys, because you can be as big as you want. If you're a wuss, you're a wuss. Anyway, if they don't wrestle them, I'd be totally happy with it, and it'd be understandable.
Wasn't very good at all. It was kind of dull, in fact.
Did not enjoy that whatsoever. Alex Reyes.
Likewise.
Alex Reyes, I've got his name. The guy who looks like his voice is disconnected from his body. Alex Reyes is backstage with Dana and Emma. We just can't. Not have a Dana and Emma promo, can we?
This thing is, they run this place.
No, they don't. They don't even win matches.
Where's that even come from?
No, like, there's no backing to anything they say whatsoever. No. I know that's fair enough for heels just talking rubbish, but we don't.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think Dana is smart enough to actually realise the distinction between reality and fiction.
Do you reckon?
She has that glazed over look in her eyes. Like
she does, didn't she?
Like, what's she called? The Young Fern from British TV.
Young Fern Cotton.
Fern Cotton has that.
As opposed to Fern Britain.
Yeah,
you're on the level.
She's the older one. But Fern Cotton, she's got...
You hate Fern Cotton.
You look into her eyes and there's a vast expanse of space. There's just nothing there. It's empty.
She's a moron. I can't stand it.
And Dana Brooke has that same vacuous void behind her eyes.
Except if Dana Brooke and... Fern Cotton having a fight, I'd root for Dana Brooke.
Really? You hate her that much?
I hate Fern Cotton.
Wow. I had a thing about her when I was a little kid and then it passed.
Did you?
I got a cream for it. It's gone.
What?
It's a joke.
Did you say cream?
Yes, it's medical joke.
Okay.
It's a medical joke.
I heard you liked it as a child. I heard cream. It was all awful. I sad. I'm going to have therapy. Thanks.
Yeah, you're okay.
Cheers, man. Emma, right, I'm just going to confront it this week.
Go on.
The gloves, the aviator glasses, why? She's never explained them. Looks daft. What's the point? Don't understand. It's like she's gone to a prop store and thought, oh, I'll have that. Oh, I'll
have
that.
It's like a strippogram.
Everything needs a reason. She's dressed like a cop. Like, she's dressed a bit like Joey Ryan, but without...
She looks like if Magic Mike was about women rather than men, she'd be the one who's doing, like, the cop thing.
Don't answer correctly. Damn.
That's what I think of in my...
You've reasoned it. God damn it. Well, I bet she's not thinking that.
No, she's not. She's just, I look cool.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. I've gone right off Emma.
Very good in a ring.
Yeah.
But also kind of boring at the same time. Because her match with Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yes.
She did dress like Wonder Woman. It's like the guy, Mr. 450, he dresses like Dragon Ball people.
Who's Mr. 450?
He was the one with like the weird outfit, which had like chest plates. And
I remember him.
He had like this green like eyeglass on.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah. Apparently he's really good.
Where's Rich Swan gone? That's another sad thing about NXT. Where's Rich Swan gone this week?
Yeah, I think they need to have a bit of a purge of NXT.
That's the point, yeah.
Because they do that, they release talent in WWE.
And move a few people up as well.
Move a few people up, purge a few people, just tidy it up.
I think that I can't think of who they'd be. Blake and Murphy, literally, on the main roster of NXT. I can't see anyone outside Blake and Murphy that could be on the chop block.
Another thing, I know it's weird to say, but I don't think they should have ex-champions on the NXT roster for too long. Unless they're not very good.
You mean like Sami Zayn?
Like Sami Zayn, like Blake Vaude. And Murphy, hopefully.
I think Vaude villains could be.
Yeah, you shouldn't. If you're a champion, you shouldn't stick around in NXT
longer. Unless you are specifically trying to regain your title.
It's not long. And just move, okay.
Owens. Yeah, just Owens left when he was still a champion.
Owens is the classic example.
Yeah. Always was the way to do it, but I hope he's not just a special case. So it's Emma, versus Santana Garrett, who is, as you say,
Wonder Woman
this week. Someone pointed that out, and I couldn't quite picture Wonder Woman in her head, so I googled her eventually, and yeah,
it's Wonder Woman.
Just Wonder Woman. Santana Garrett is apparently very popular. Quite very happy with her. And this was nice.
Corey Graves says, yeah, she puts in a lot of effort, but she just kind of gets kicked a bit, gets a few bits of offense.
She's had a few matches next season.
Nothing impressive about her in this match.
So she's just like she's at the low. She's in the Hugo Knox and Tucker Knight sort of level at the moment. That sort of development talent pool that they get to pick from every now and then.
It's a performance centre person.
Yes. But apparently she's made her way on the Indies. I think, was she the one that was called Brittany?
I'm not sure.
Is that Santana Garrett? Because someone called Brittany was on. Well, someone that was Brittany in TNA was on.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it might be Santana Garrett. Emma wins this with the Emma Lock. It was a clean win for the heel, which was rare.
Boring match.
But yeah, it was just bog standard women's match. Fine.
It's stuff like this and this match.
Yeah.
They just need to clean. I'm not saying fire people. That's not what I'm saying.
No. Have one of these a week at the most.
They need to have like a very big distinction of performance centre and the TV show. The performance centre people should get the chance when they're touring.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's bottom. And
not when it's like live broadcasted TV.
And I don't mind. I literally do not mind the occasional one.
Yeah, one a week.
Yeah, one a week at the most. Even once every 2 weeks.
I'll say one thing. Ring of Honor got this right with what was the tournament called?
Top Prospect.
Like one match a week.
Yeah.
Top Prospect thing.
Yeah.
That's what
and that has a reason as well. It's not just... Because Hugo Knox took an eye came out, you knew they weren't going to win.
Mm.
So it's not like Top Prospect tournament. Like, oh, one of these is going to win. One of these is going to get put over. But...
Evolve had a similar thing.
Mm.
But it was a tournament and it made a much bigger thing of it. But they don't have a weekly show. They have like an occasional event. But yeah, that's what they should do. They shouldn't have like the majority of a broadcast roster being performance centre jobbers.
Because then there's too many matches on the show where you know who's going to win.
Yeah,
it takes the excitement out of the show.
Yeah,
it's cool to see the new guys. But
I will say I'm bouncing between hating NXT and loving it. It's just such a...
I'm just plodding. My view of NXT at the moment is plodding along, and every now and then something good happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like Finn Neville. Like every now and then we get that.
But that was that.
Eva Marie and Nia Jax are in William Regal's office. He says that they may make a good case for that they deserve to be in the reckoning. They've been in and about the title. They've been beaten.
But either Marie, no.
Well, yeah, neither of them, realistically, no. But storyline-wise, yeah, both of them have interjected themselves into the storyline.
The only person who's a legitimate contender is Asuka.
Yeah.
That's it.
So after Asuka for an opportunity, William Regal gives them a little wry smile like he does. And he says, I'm going to mess you about a bit. And next week, they will face Bayley and Asuka in a tag match. But yeah. No, that'll go. I hope Bayley and Asuka win and Asuka and Bayley just batter each other and it sets up the match for TakeOver.
Yeah.
Just total anarchy and then we get the great match and just get Eva Marie and Nia Jax away. Bye. Yeah. But Asuka and Bayley might be a bit like child abuse. Like, no, like, Basically, she will beat up a child.
Like a man child.
Yeah.
Oh, a woman child.
Bailey's gimmick is that she's a child and Asuka's going to have to be mean to her. I just can't see how they're going to be faces.
Yeah, I don't think... How long has there Bailey been champion now?
Since August. Same amount of time as... No, no, even long. 2 months short than Finn Balor.
I honestly think she might lose it.
To Asuka, yeah. Makes sense. And Bailey goes up with the
Four Horsewoman
to add a bit of bulk to what is hopefully going to be the start of something good at WrestleMania with a triple threat.
Yeah.
That's what I'm after.
And she'll debut the night after WrestleMania.
Hopefully.
That massive pop. Like, oh my God, NXT, NXT, Bailey.
The pop will be huge.
Hey, we want some Bailey and all that.
And what's the other one? Oh, it's Hey Baby, Hey Bailey. I want to know if you'll be my girl.
That was the British one, wasn't it? Yeah, that was
the Americans have caught on with it. Oh. They remembered it like we've had an effect. God bless. Who sang that again? Hey Baby.
I can't remember. Yeah. It's like 1990s, early 1990s.
Maybe you sing it for Michael Owen, didn't they? When they know when you score a goal, they just got injured. William Regal comes out and says that he is dedicated to bringing excellence to WWE NXT.
He says at the end of that interview, he says, I've got to go now. I'm introducing one of the world's best talents.
Yeah, I've got something to do, lasses. Can you get out?
Something important.
So he just says, this is one of the biggest signs to date. Cue to the stage, bit of music, and then apparently he's the greatest man alive comes out.
Yeah, Austin Aries, the greatest man who ever lived.
So I'm told.
That's his gimmick.
That was his TNA thing, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. He was the former TNA world champion. Another one we've got after James Storm a few months ago.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay though.
Oh, he's in TNA for now, yeah. Which some things are happening.
No, I mean...
Austin Aries is here, yeah.
He's for the long haul.
Because William Regal said contract. He used the word contract in signing, so he's there.
Mm.
Much like Balor, Kent, everyone who was bigger than
him. And he's celebrating with the crowd. He's coming down to the ring. He's going to talk to William Regal. And then...
Boom.
Idiot Lips turns up.
Big Baz.
He attacks.
Baz.
He does some bad stuff, actually. He throws Austin Aries against the ring side. It's not like the rope. It's one with like the NXT thing, has like the sign on it.
The apron.
No, it's not an apron, is it? Because it's like...
It's like a hardboard, isn't it?
It's got a hardboard thing.
Yeah, it's like a...
metally plasticky thing NXT on it.
Yeah.
Throws him against that, which thought... Austin Aries sold that.
He did like a flip into it, didn't he?
And then he did the end of days onto the side. And the way that move is, he's basically just smashing his face off the floor very, very, very hard.
Steel. Of steel.
Horrible.
Yes.
That could actually do a lot of damage. Stupid, not anything.
It makes Big Baz look cool, though.
I thought, you idiot. How could you do that? You could actually break bones
doing
that.
Just as he's told.
Yeah, and he says eye for an eye, and I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. I mean, if you stab me, I'll stab you back. That's basically what eye for an eye means. Like for like, you know, karma. What goes around comes around. What new talent came in and buried him? Eye for an eye is basically shorthand for revenge.
Yeah.
And that's not revenge for anything.
It only works if the gimmick goes that Baron Corbin's just going to start beating up all these people that he considered. You know, he keeps going, like, when he was beating up Finn Balor or something, he said, go back to Ring of Honor. Like,
it was with, what's it called, name's gone.
Oh, yeah, Apollo Crews, yeah.
He was never in that. Dragon Gate.
But if he goes forward where William keeps beating up all these people that William Regal has signed because he's fuming that Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe in the picture.
And both beat him at the same time.
Yeah. then an eye for an eye works, but might not go that way. If it's Baron Corbin versus the Indies, it works.
Yeah, it just makes him look like an idiot at the moment, though. Yeah. Like a massive idiot.
He needs point. But if Baron Corbin versus Austin Aries...
Yeah, I'm okay with that. We had a great match with Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, and he actually brain-busted him, which was incredibly impressive.
He's had quite a few good matches with Joe. That was Ring of Honor title years ago, wasn't it?
No, that was quite recent. It was his first TNA title, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
In that run.
Oh.
Where he instigated the thing where if you have the X Division title at a certain point,
you can cash it in,
and I think it's Bound for Glory.
Is it Bound for Glory?
I think it was that. And you get like a heavyweight title shot.
Yeah.
Which is a nice thing. It cheapens that division, but it's a nice thing to blur the lines a bit.
It's like cashing in the Continental title for the world title.
Yeah, it'd be a nice little thing.
Mm. So it's effectively combined the Continental title and the Money in the Bank.
But I was a bit annoyed at that.
That Oasis music hits.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about it.
And then we get a lifetime to come out. At first, I was like, I'll give this gimmick a chance.
They're trying to sell it like, oh, we don't know who he is. We don't know who he is. Yeah, but he was wrestling in trunks like a couple of months ago. Yeah. You don't know who he is.
He's gone away for a couple of months. And like, who are you?
Change his name if you're going to do anything.
They did. It had a P in it before.
Oh, sorry.
It was Samson. Now it's Samson.
But it always takes me out of it when they do that. If you think he's a new person, give him a new name.
It's because, Rob, the WWE think their fans are idiots.
have like a 2-week memory.
Yes, with fish. Fishy fans. Steve Cutler is the former Marine.
That's a lot. That's a very trod out gimmick in wrestling.
But is he really?
If he was really a Marine, then Elias Samson would be dead.
Yeah.
Because they have QC. Hang on. CQC? Close Combat? What is it? Close Quarter Combat? And that's designed to ruin people.
CQC?
So if some wrestler who was just slapping you did that, you'd probably just break his arm or something.
Yep, legit Marine.
If he was a legit Marine and they allowed him to be a legit Marine and do CQC, Elias Samson wouldn't even be able to touch him.
So basically what NXT have done with this match is a US Marine got beat up by a homeless man.
Yeah.
I did not think of it this way.
Hey, he's got a guitar.
He's got a guitar which he didn't even use.
It's a US Marine got beat up by a busker.
By a bloody busker. Jesus. NXT. And Elias Samson just leaves as if nothing's happened. Imagine beating up a Marine just going, go play some songs.
I just beat up a Marine. My God. That happened.
Like, Jesus Christ, I beat up a Marine. I was like, I'm going to go write a song.
I'm going to be, assassinated now. Is this what's going to happen?
But yeah, that's exactly what just happened.
And am I enemy of the state now? Is this what it is?
Technically. He was already an enemy of the state with them blue scarves on his wrist.
Yeah,
nobody likes him. Declared since then.
Nobody likes him. And after that, was there a promo or was it straight into main event?
It was just there was Mojo and Zach were being daft backstage, and then Sam and Gotchen in English were sort of behind them being a bit creepy.
Yeah, I wondered there, how long were they just stood there? Were they just stood there waiting for stuff to happen?
I think so, yeah. They were just behind the beams.
And just grinned at the camera.
I think you could sort of see them, and then they're just like, hey, like a sort of creep going around the corner with looking at a skirt. Just being creeps, being general creeps.
Badly booked.
Fair play, Simon Gotch looks like a creep.
They should bring him out to WWE.
Right.
To the main roster.
Yeah. I'm just a bit done with them now, unless they start being really creepy. I love creepy gimmicks.
They should do that.
When DDP was starting Undertaker's wife, I love that.
They're not doing anything with him there.
Then we get Neville versus Balor.
And the tag division is very crowded, so.
Yeah, it is.
I think they're
is.
The ones who should be promoted, if anybody.
Neville, Balor. Oh, what can you say?
Honestly, it's not the match I thought it would be. I was expecting better.
I loved it. In my mind, when I see these guys have matches, I think now they have the matches thinking that they're going to have another match later on.
Yeah, the thing here is, I was really happy with it because they acknowledged the fact that they existed outside of WWE.
Yes, I did.
Like, they're long-time friends. I mean, friends since like the early 2000s. Yeah. Tagged together, fought together.
British Isles, aren't they, both? Yeah. So they've been all around the UK circuit.
Yeah, the PCWs, ICW, wasn't thing there.
But probably FWA back in the
Pro
day.
Rev.
Yeah, so they've been everywhere together. And Triple H, fair play with him, that's all him.
Yeah.
Acknowledging other companies.
I can't wait until he's got total charge of the company.
Same, but it means Vince is dead.
Well, he's got to retire.
He won't retire.
He's in his mid-70s.
He will never retire.
He's in his mid-70s, isn't he?
74. No, 72. I think we share a birthday, I'm not sure. Or maybe the day before. But yeah, Vince will never retire. Vince will die. And
he'll die before he retires. He is one of those, isn't he?
Yeah, but he'll work until the day he dies, which so it'll be a sad day when Triple H takes over, but Triple H will take over and do a bloody good job.
Silver linings.
Yeah, silver linings. Dark cloud, silver lining. Because Vince McMahon is why we like wrestling.
Well,
we wouldn't like it otherwise.
Yeah, he got us into it.
Yeah.
Hey, I got into it for WCW, technically, but...
Oh, God. So, Ted Turner.
Yeah, Ted
Chris
Turner.
Your boys.
Yeah. He's had the...
I'm all Vince since I was 3.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I got in for WCW got me into it.
Dunk the Clown versus Bret Hart was one of the first matches
Sting,
I ever watched.
Sting and Ric Flair and all those, all those old WWE guys.
You had Sting and Ric Flair. I had the Lex Luger versus Yokozuna was my first pay-per-view.
Yeah, I was heartbroken when I found out Yokozuna was actually Samoan. He's not Japanese.
Yeah.
You liars.
They got me for years.
More recent than I'd like to admit.
I remember Lex Luger won. The first pay-per-view I ever watched was SummerSlam 93, which my brother had on video, and it ended with Lex Luger winning by a count-out and celebrating like he'd won the title, but didn't realise that you can't win by a count-out, and I just did not get it. I did not understand why Lex Luger didn't have the shiny belt.
Yeah,
it was so upsetting. Especially after the big, evil Japanese man who turned out to be just some fat Samoan bloke. Yeah. Wrestling just had me hooked. Remember, once upon a time, wrestling had us hook and sinker.
Yeah.
I wish it was still like that.
This match is very, very good.
Yeah, it's one of those go-watch matches.
They do sell Adrian Neville as overpowering Finn Balor for a great deal out of it.
And then there
was one bit where he's thrown over the rope and he legitimately hits his head on the steel steps.
That was awful, wasn't it?
And from there, it kind of changes the momentum of the match.
Yeah, I think it might have been a bit like, play it safe now, lads, because that could be a concussion.
Yeah.
Obviously, the doctors check and they don't continue a match if they have a concussion.
And they had a nice moment. Finn Balor eventually wins. He does the coup de grace into the I think they call it a hatch suplex.
It's the Bloody Sunday, but they don't say it on because it has the word bloody in it.
I think it's called the hatch suplex now. I don't know who Hatch is in particular, but
the Triple Hatch.
Gets the three. And great
they,
match.
And they have a nice cuddle.
And they celebrate, yeah.
And that is like old guard, new guard. Finn's the new guy. Finn Balor with his leather jacket looking cool with his Balor Club entrance.
And he's being a weird stalker who reveals himself in public transport because that's the way he opens his jacket. It's very, have a look at this.
I've got no taffin and some undies because I'm a wrestler.
I say, I love the guy. I literally, he's my favourite thing in WWE right now, but.
Bulletproof.
The way he does that, it's weird. That's all I'm saying.
Finn Balor teased a big announcement last week, and it was everyone thought he's going to be on Raw, but it was just a shirt that said Bulletproof on it. And then, guess who starts tweeting about Bulletproof stuff?
No.
Karl Anderson and Doc Gallows. So there's your confirmation.
Yeah, I will say one thing, we never talked about last week, but in the New Japan thing, that really nice moment with them just saying thank you to the crowd. It was basically in a gym, and there was no commentary. The way they were gracious.
Yeah, very emotional for...
It was really nice. You could see it meant so much to Karl Anderson.
Yeah.
He was much more emotional because throughout the whole match, even when Doc Gallows was in, he went, Anderson. I thought, Gallows must be really annoyed at that. American ball guy, he's the same thing.
I think Gallows kind of understands because like Anderson, Gallows has had his run in WWE, so it's like, he's going back, it's great, but Anderson's like grafted.
Anderson was really emotional. It was a beautiful moment.
Like Japan means so much to him as well. New Japan means so much to him.
You can tell it just the way he bowed, he said thank you, did everything. It was just such a nice moment.
And as a wrestling fan, it's so nice to see someone like that get
It's genuine. It was genuine.
Get the big chance that they deserve. And it looks like we're going to have a stable called Bulletproof with Balor, Gallows, and Anderson.
I'm cool with that.
Happy.
So cool with that.
And the only guy who I think they should take is their muscle.
Who?
Baron Bloody Corbin.
Yeah, oddly.
Yep.
But I think it should have AJ in. It can't not have AJ in.
AJ and Finn need to fight for the...
Because that is the match that never happened. That is the match that never happened in New Japan.
I know. That match. So many potential matches are going to happen soon in the next year. I'm so excited. I'm getting a bit giddy.
It's a good time for wrestling. But anyway, we will wrap up with match hero, villain, idiot and spot. And match of the week for me is Querno versus Phoenix.
Like I said, I was just taking notes in my head. I was taking mental notes that match happened. I just started writing stuff down. I was like, this is so good. I can't not talk about.
Hero. Honestly, I think it's the return of Mil Muertes, even though he talked like an idiot. It needed that.
Sort of like the champ looking strong, coming in, asserting dominance.
Because he's just been sat there looking wounded. And it's never good for a company to have a wounded champion as running the company. I don't think that works. But bringing it back around, Mil Muertes,
Man's famous B. Obvious reasons. Can't really argue. Yeah. And I'm afraid you can't argue with me because Famous B
will
just talk you out of it. And
he will.
You walk up with a car, probably.
Probably. Be okay. I kind of need a car.
He'll probably beat you up as well.
Spot of the week is poor.
I liked Phoenix's dive off the spot roof because solely for Vampiro stand up, like you'd never seen it before.
Double flatliner
was cool as well.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And a lot of stuff in the Neville Balor match was cool as well. But Phoenix in flight always makes me happy.
Finn Balor is a secondary hero of the week as well. We'll just say that.
Finn Balor's always my hero.
Yeah.
A lovely guy. Idiot of the week, Danibut was on it.
I know we say that a lot, but I'm going to give it to Baron Corbin this week.
Really?
Yeah.
For ruining our scenarios.
It would have been an idiot in that whole promo, or being booked as an idiot.
Katrina's getting there for me as well because I'm getting really sick of her.
Yeah.
And also Dragon Azteca for being a P-head and just wanting to watch telly all the time. And villain of the week. I'm giving it to Mil Muertes in the sense that he's top villain. He's just a bloody good villain.
Mm.
I know I was saying earlier we don't have face and heels, but like Mil Muertes is a demon. He's evil.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
He is an evil. Evil man.
I can't pick him as a hero and villain, but at the same time, he is.
Yeah, he's a hero because of how good a villain he is.
Yeah, it's a weird contradiction but I'm okay with it.
Like, it sounds like I'm contradicting me heel and face thing familiar, but his character is that he is a villain.
That's the whole point.
Yes.
He is the only villain that company needs.
Yes.
Because he is that overpowering characteristic.
It does have comic book characteristics. Like, there is.
They have released a comic book for it.
There wasn't. That's how they killed someone off in it, didn't they? They killed Ezekiel Jackson in it.
I did that. Yeah. Oh, good.
I read that. But yeah, there's the anti-hero in Pentagon. He's like the, I don't know, Deadpool or whatever.
I don't remember liking him at Deadpool.
Sorry. I just, anti-hero, I've seen that word.
I can't stand bloody Deadpool.
Apparently he was yeah, overrated. And like heroes, your Puma showing off like Spider-Man, but a bit cocky, whatever. Yeah.
I can't agree. Disagree.
I tried to make it geek show, right?
It works because they've done it themselves.
Yes, I'd like to read that comic book. We'll have to do that somewhere.
But yeah, that is all we have time for this week. What about next week? What are we up to?
We are hitting a big, massive, dirty roadblock is what we're doing.
Okay, I'm okay.
And then we'll
get
to the dead end that is.
The one match of that, which is NXT, is Blake and... Hang on, no, that's wrong. It's the tag team champions against Enzo and Cass.
Oh, yes. So that we was get the match. The Revival there. Versus Enzo and Cass.
Is that what they call themselves?
The Revival. The Revival of what? Boredom. I've been thinking of that all week.
Yeah. On that bombshell, I think that's all we have time for. So NXT, Lucha, that. And yeah, we'll be back next week talking about all the wrestling. I've been Rob.
I'm Jay.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.